When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who comfort, for they will be who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Our first reading from the book of Revelation paints a picture of heaven, paints a picture of all of the saints gathering together and giving praise and glory to God. And I thought that was a good way for us to kind of reflect upon the meaning of this solemnity of all saints. One of the passages from that reading goes, "A great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue." So when we think of all the saints, we are talking about people from across the globe. We are people because Jesus obviously came to save everyone. Now, obviously, there are the canonized saints, the saints that we name churches after, the saints that we have statues of. At our first Mass today, we had our all school Mass, and the first graders were in these couple of front pews, dressed up like those different saints. So we had a Saint John Paul II, we had Saint Anthony of Padua, we had a Saint Joseph, and even a Saint Mary. Although for some reason, the Holy Family were not seated together. So maybe there was a little strife, I don't know. But obviously, you know, when we think of the saints, we're thinking of those people. But this celebration has a very specific name: all the saints. I told our school kids this morning, I said, you know, I also would include in that roster of saints Harold and Francis Beckert. I would also include Walter and Marie Phelps. Those are my four grandparents. In my heart of heart, I believe they are in heaven. And that's the easy definition of the saint. They're in heaven. They are already enjoying the eternal life with God. We have to remember, we believe in the communion of saints, which means that group of saints are not just the people the Catholic Church has designated and canonized, but also includes untold number of unknown saints that have just lived their daily lives trying to be as good a people as they could be and have accepted Christ's gift of eternal life. "Salvation comes from our God," the reading goes on, "who is seated on the throne and from the Lamb." It's a reminder to us, this gift of salvation, that which makes us saints, is a gift freely given to us by God out of the love he has for us. This gift is not something we could ever earn, but it's something that is given to us. The saints, some of the saints, fought long and hard trying to spread that good news to people. And they even had to give up their life for the faith because some people just did not want that spread, just did not want the truth of the gospel spread to people. The reading goes on to say, all the saints exclaimed, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. You know, when we picture for a moment the saints in heaven around the throne of the Lamb, around the throne of the Son of God, who is victorious over sin and death, and we picture them exclaiming with loud voices and singing, we have to remember ourselves, we're in that picture as well. We are united with the saints here on earth. When we were baptized, we entered the body of Christ, the church. And that does not change when we move on from this life to the next. And so the saints in heaven are still in communion with us. We talk about the communion of the saints, but it is a community that includes us here on earth. We used to describe it as the church triumphant and the church militant. We still are going through our pilgrimage through this life, but we are not doing so without the companionship and the friendship and the love of those who have already reached heaven, the saints. And then the other reading we heard was the gospel reading, the Beatitudes. Now, I think that it is easy to read through the Beatitudes and think, well, this is how I can check off. I'm doing these things to earn the gift of heaven. But that is something we always have to avoid. We can never do anything to earn the gift of heaven. You know, in heaven, if everyone is mirroring the selfless love of God, there are no more tears in heaven. Everybody is clean of heart. Everybody is truly poor in spirit. Everybody is peacemakers. But the saints have already reached heaven. Their hearts have already been transformed. We are not there yet. One of the purposes of our life is to do that work of transforming of our hearts, of making our hearts more like the heart of Jesus, a heart that is completely selfless, ready to love everyone completely and totally. The Beatitudes describe ways for us to continue the work of transforming our own hearts, making them hearts that God would recognize as his children. Now, it's easy to hear this message and say, well, it sounds pretty simple. We've already been offered the gift of baptism or the gift of eternal life at baptism. We're good, right? Well, there's a reason why we should be living good Christian lives. Every time that we are not peacemakers, every time we do not consider the needs of the poor, every time we decide to put our own needs ahead of others, we are hardening our own hearts. We are undoing that work of transformation. And if we continue down that path too far, our heart will be so hardened that when God extends his hand at the end of our life to ask us if we now will accept the gift of eternal life, we may reject him. That's the catch. That's the reason for it. He's extended his offer, but because of our free will, he will not force us into heaven. We have to freely choose that. And a heart that has grown cold because of indifference of others, because of unwilling to look out for others, and only being concerned with myself, is a heart that could reject that offer of eternal life. That's the stakes that we have in this life. Luckily for us, we have our Savior Jesus Christ. We have his victory on the cross. We have the sacraments of the church. And we also have the saints in heaven. They so desperately want us to experience what they already know, the joy of eternal life, the glory of looking upon God's face unshielded, unveiled. They want that so desperately for us. They are offering prayer after prayer after prayer on our behalf. And so those companions, those friends in Christ and our Savior, are desperately hoping that at the end of our lives we will say yes when God says, "Are you now willing to accept the gift of eternal life?" And upon that yes, we will then join the ranks of all the saints around Jesus' throne for all eternity.